Hello, this is Shireen Gorbani, and you are listening to a very special episode of Both Sides of the Aisle that we are recording during Pride Month, but you're going to hear it a little bit later in the summer. But I am so happy to be joined by Essie Gonzen. Am I saying that correctly?
Perfect.
Great. Who is the new Executive Director of Equality Utah, statewide organization really focused on being a champion and, I would say, a storyteller for the LGBTQ community here in Utah. And Marina Lowe, who I've known for a long time and we've worked closely together, who is the Senior Director of Legal and Legislative Affairs for Equality Utah. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Okay, so I'm going to start with you, Essie. Will you just tell me, so I think some folks will be familiar with Equality Utah, but for those who don't know, you are a new executive director after a longtime executive director was in the role, Troy Williams. And will you tell us just a little bit about your background and how long you've been involved in this work?
Yes, absolutely. Born and raised here in Utah. I actually have been with the organization longer than these last 3 months since I've stepped into this role. I've been leading our efforts in Southern Utah for the last 4 years. So it's exciting to make this leap. I never would have imagined entering the work of advocacy, political action, but here I am.
Yeah.
So I was actually a school teacher for 8 years.
Oh, wonderful.
And I thought that's where I'd be until retirement.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about, did you grow up in Southern Utah or are you from this region?
I'm from up north,
yeah.
Just a little bit north of Salt Lake. I mean, in a long roundabout way, after I came out in my early 20s, I decided, you know, get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Leave Utah and move to LA for a while. And I didn't think I'd ever return back to Utah. And I spent about a decade there.
Yeah.
And then as Utah's just, it's a special place.
Yes, it
you
is.
Know? And it pulled me back and I found myself in Southern Utah. And
what did you teach?
Special education.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an area, I mean, I feel like we could do a whole episode on that. But thank you for, you know, serving our community and our kids in that way. What brought you into the world of Equality Utah?
Yeah, great question. Well, when I think of my 8 years teaching, it actually doesn't feel that different, especially working in the realm of special education, advocating for minority groups and helping be a voice to help things progress and for people to have equality.
Yeah,
I actually started at Encircle for a few months in St. George, and Equality Utah has been something very important and impactful to me since I came out at the age of 22,
yeah,
a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I never saw joining the team as even a possibility in my mind. But when a position opened up, I went for it. My wife's like, go get them.
Yes.
Like, why not you?
Yeah.
And they must have seen something in me. And
oh,
it's truly been life changing.
And what was the initial role? What kind of work were you doing?
This is kind of a funny story because when I interviewed, I actually interviewed for almost like an HR position. And they're like, you are not our gal. Like, you are not HR. And that was absolutely true.
Yeah.
I was just going for it.
Yeah.
But they brought me on anyway and said, we'll figure it out. We
yeah.
know we need you on the team. And it ended up representing Equality Utah in Southern Utah
yeah.
and overseeing our student program. So
wonderful.
I still had that foot in education. But that's where I started, like all things Equality Utah in Southern Utah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So Marina, tell us a little bit about your journey into this work, why it's important to you, and a little bit about your background.
Yeah. Okay. So unlike Essie, I am not originally from Utah. I grew up in Northern California and moved to Utah, gosh, about 20 years ago. I'm a lawyer by training and worked sort of in a more traditional legal career for a couple of years, but knew right away that it was not really the right fit for me. I come from parents who both had careers that in some way or another had some service component, and that felt important to me in my own career. And I knew that that was sort of the path forward for me as well. So when we moved to Utah, my husband and I, he's the one who brought me here. He grew up in Utah. I applied for a job at the ACLU and got that job, started out as their legal director, and then eventually transitioned into a legislative role, working as their legislative and policy counsel. I was at the ACLU for about 15 years, working on all kinds of issues up on the Hill, everything from reproductive rights to LGBTQ issues, where I worked very closely, actually, with Essie's predecessor, Troy, for many years on a lot of LGBTQ issues, First Amendment issues, criminal justice issues, kind of you name it. And then about 4 years ago, decided to move over to Equality Utah, and it's been great.
Yeah, wonderful. And can you talk a little bit about where Equality Utah has been? I don't know who'd like to kind of take that, and maybe where it's going. So I know that it started really, I think, kind of as we think about how Pride started, a little bit as a protest, right? Like a little bit as born out of a moment where there was a real need for, I think, voices, for connection, for stories, but really has moved into a space of trying to be a bridge builder, trying to be like telling truth to power, bringing stories forward. Maybe, Marina, can you talk a little bit about the past? What have you seen Equality do over the years? And then, Essie, I'd love to hear you talk about the future.
Yeah, I think it was originally started, 25 years ago now. This is our 25th anniversary year, but started really as a PAC, an organization to support equality-minded candidates, really seeing a need to elevate those voices in the political landscape here in Utah. But as you mentioned, has really grown to be a force on Capitol Hill. We've passed really incredible pieces of legislation on behalf of the LGBTQ community here in Utah that you don't see in other red states. And part of the way in which we've done that is really by reaching across the aisle, building compromise, finding common ground, which I think has really resulted in concrete wins for this community.
Yeah, there are so many I can think of, and maybe in the second half we'll talk about some of those in greater detail. But tell us a little bit, Essie, about what you see for the future of the organization, where you hope to take it. I'm guessing that sort of bridge building, that staying in conversation is going to always be part of what Equality Utah is. But what are some of the things that you're dreaming about when you think about your opportunity to lead?
Yes, absolutely. I very much lean on the ethos that I've been taught the last 4 years and everything that Troy, Marina, the rest of the organization has really embraced. I really immersed myself and took it all very personally. So I do plan to carry on with that same energy of building bridges, listening to understand. And as Marina said, of all the conservative states in our nation, we do have the most protections for the LGBTQ community. So I know the importance and that it is effective. And that's how change and progress is truly made. When I stepped into the Equality Utah team 4 years ago, I had the honor of starting our college ambassador program. So we've spent the last 4 years building and growing this. And now as I pass it on to a colleague of mine to take that over, I see us even diving deeper and getting more students involved, all the way from Utah Tech down in St. George to Ephraim at Snow College, all the way up to USU. And I truly believe that if we can really teach these students effective advocacy, and they can do it, they are just so strong and brave and resilient that they're our future leaders. Yeah. You know, so investing in them and allowing them to have the tools and connections they need to continue this work is crucial. That's one major piece we're leaning into. And of course, also on the statewide reach, being in St. George, I saw the impact of being in other spaces other than just Salt Lake. So just continuing that reach to more rural areas or those who aren't as involved. I've loved getting to know the community partners, hearing stories of just Utahns and their experiences. I think that we can just continue to expand that. So that's a real goal. Yeah.
So if people want to get involved, and I think about this maybe just in terms of, you know, something simple folks can do kind of wherever they're coming from in their own journey around identity, but show up at a pride. You know, we have prides across this entire state. Some of my favorites, Tooele, Davis County, St. George happens a little later just because of the heat. But really go out, meet folks in the community. I think one of the things that I've always found is just such a home and just feeling so connected to people who are so open-hearted and so ready to just, you know, be a good neighbor and want to care about their communities and want to know what matters to you. And it's just a place that I've always really enjoyed. But besides going out to a Pride Fest, getting to know folks in your community, what are a couple other ways that you would suggest if people want to get involved, how they get involved in advocating for individuals' rights, or also just ways to I would say kind of turn the temperature down on the really targeted hate that we're seeing specifically towards the trans community, but it still continues across the LGBT community for sure. How do people get involved?
Yeah, sure. And I would just echo your point about Pride events. They're so joyful. That's the feeling that I always experience. It's just joyful. Anyway, so yes, I would definitely encourage that. I think people, we are, of course, an advocacy organization, so very focused on Capitol Hill, and that's a great way for people to get involved. Following what's happening on Capitol Hill, you know, our legislative website is actually pretty easy to navigate. From no matter where you are, happen to be in the state, you can log on and sort of follow along what's going on.
And when you say ours, do you mean le.utah.gov,
the
state? Yes, because Equality usually puts up really good information and trackers on your site as well.
True.
But if you do not know who your representative is, it's so easy to find out, and it actually is really easy to track bills.
It's so easy to track bills and to find your legislator. They list their cell phone numbers.
Yeah.
Our legislators are really actually quite accessible to the general public in ways that much larger states just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great way for people to start, you know, following, paying attention to these policies that are enacted at the state level that actually have impact on our lives in a really meaningful way. And then additionally, as you sort of engage in the political process, you start to realize that these races here in Utah for these political seats are often decided by just a few votes. So getting involved in voting, in campaigns, in deciding who gets to hold those seats, are they actually representing their constituents?
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most impactful way people can really change the policy debates happening in the state.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I know we're recording this actually on the day that the primaries take place. So sometimes a lot of this is decided, you know, now, midsummer.
Yeah.
But we have a number of races across the Salt Lake Valley that have come down to, you know, 0.25%,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
five
absolutely.
Votes, sometimes even less. And it just really is incredible how much it matters for you to get involved and to vote. And I think, you know, I know that it can be frustrating, but I always like to encourage sort of a harm reduction approach. You know, what's the way that we can get to the most people being represented, the most momentum forward on what we'd love to see? Really quickly, Essie, is there something else you would say for people getting involved?
Something super easy is just follow us on social media.
Yeah.
We can put out calls to action, help keep you educated and updated. So simply just following us is like a really easy takeaway.
That is a great recommendation. So we will be talking more around policy and getting involved after the break. I'm Shireen Gorbani. I'm joined by Essie Gonzin and Marina Lowe from Equality Utah. Thanks, everyone. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle on UPR. We love to hear from listeners like you. If you would like to send us a comment, email BSOTAPodcast@gmail.com. That's BSOTAPodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
I'm Shireen Gorbani, and you are listening to a very special episode of Both Sides of the Aisle, where I have Essie Gonzin with me, the Executive Director of Equality Utah, and Marina Lowe, who is the Senior Director of Legal and Legislative Affairs, also for Equality Utah. We are recording during our Pride Month, but you're going to hear it a little bit later in the summer. So just know that if you missed a Pride Festival, check out when the one in your neighborhood is, in your community is, and go to it next year. But I would love to turn a little bit into really the kind of landscape that we're seeing play out here in Utah, which I think is a replication of really targeted attacks that we're seeing across the country directly on trans folks. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what's happening in our legislature. Is there anything that you think we can do to turn down the temperature on what is, frankly, an incredible minority in our state? Like, in terms of population, we're talking about a very small group of people that it seems to me some members of our legislature cannot stop thinking about.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no disputing it. Those are the facts. And it's been a number of years now we've seen the legislature really target that community and have this sort of laser focus on passing legislation, singling out the trans community. It's been challenging for
yeah.
sure. And I can't imagine what it must feel like to be a member of that community and watch our legislature year after year sort of go after different aspects of their rights. On a more positive note, I will say my general feeling being up on the Hill this year, and I will say there were bills targeting the trans community again this year, but I definitely, for the first time in a number of years, got a sense of fatigue from some lawmakers
yeah.
that they were just tired of talking about this issue, too.
Yeah.
So I guess the optimist in me is hopeful that maybe we can sort of turn the page. And I do want to highlight as well that there were some wins for the trans community,
too. Tell me
too.
About the wins. I love a win.
Talk about the
I
wins.
I love a win.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, Trevor Lee, of course, of legislative infamy, introduced a number of bills this year. I just can't not mention that he had 12 bills and none of them passed. But probably his sort of most hateful bill was a bill that, in its essence, tried to erase the trans community entirely from state code, although leaving them in code. There's a provision in Utah law which says you can't get a license plate which disparages somebody because of a characteristic, race, gender, et cetera. It left trans people in for that, took them out of everywhere else. So it would have essentially erased them from the protections of the non-discrimination statute, from hate crimes protections, would have impacted their ability to have custody of their children, changed their gender markers on their birth certificate. I mean, honestly, the list went on and on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we got to work when we saw this bill, truly the worst piece of legislation I've seen anywhere in the country, frankly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were able to lean on some of the partnerships and relationships that we'd made so many years back in 2015 when Equality Utah worked to pass the non-discrimination ordinance and really lean on those relationships and remind people of that promise we had all made to each other in that legislation. And I think that's what saved the day. And so that bill ultimately died in the Senate after being substantially amended in the House to the point where it was almost nothing left in the bill.
Yeah.
And then ultimately the Senate just decided to kill it anyway. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a win.
It's a big win. It was a really awful piece of legislation. And I think it would have been very damaging had it passed. So.
Yeah. And not to discount in any way how harmful and damaging that is if you are a trans person in the state watching that go down. And I really have to say, like, I think what it does is sort of question and pull at our sort of understanding of our exactly as you said, sort of the promise we make to each other, this sort of idea of seeing each other's humanity. Would you want to add anything to that, Essie?
Yeah, I think just stepping outside of the politics of it all. And I think back to when marriage equality passed. And that was a huge win. Now it just seems like so obvious, but people got on board with marriage equality when they started to know gay and lesbian couples and saw the humanity in them. And I think a lot of these targeted bills come from a place of fear and like the unknown. So I just encourage people who have that fear to like step out and meet someone and talk to them, because it's really hard to hate people close up.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a really simple reminder of our humanity.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and as you mentioned, it feels like we've kind of moved into like a post information society. And I don't want to say it should all run on vibes, but it does feel like the data doesn't necessarily help craft, you know, people's perceptions. Research doesn't necessarily help craft people's, you know, perceptions. But I do still think that sitting across from someone I just have so much, it does like actually make me feel like crying. I'm going to try to hold it together. But like when these parents show up and they say like, I'm just trying to keep my kid alive, you know, I'm just trying to get my kid the care that they need so that they can live another day. And we just know that like, this will probably all sort itself out, you know, we're all going to be okay. Like it's okay if a kid is non-gender conforming, but really how do we help kind of make those connections when the data doesn't seem to matter? I don't know. What do you think? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, it does seem like increasingly people discount data if it doesn't align with their sort of predetermined beliefs or political ideology.
Yeah.
And we see that, frankly, on the left and the right. Both sides sort of just knee-jerk reject anything which doesn't fit in with their worldview. I happen to believe facts really do still matter. So
good.
I think we can't get rid of those altogether. We've got to keep doing the research and doing the hard study of facts. But I absolutely agree with Essie that human connection is always what sways people in the end.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think advocacy is just so important, putting faces on these issues, bringing people up, giving them a real opportunity to speak with the people who are making the laws that impact their lives.
Yeah. So I know, Marina, you and I agree on this. When is a good time to start developing a relationship with your legislative, your rep in the House or your senator?
right now.
Yeah, now.
In the summer.
In the summer.
The summer is a great time. The session is so busy, it's really hard to get people's attention. But if you start now and build a relationship, then it's much easier during the session to ping somebody and say, hey, remember me? We chatted over the summer.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Hey, remember me? I'm concerned about gas prices, not targeting trans folks, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And our legislature is so easy to reach out to. They have all their contact information on the legislative website we discussed earlier. So yeah, reach out.
Reach out. And I do think those relationships are important. And I do hear that people often are sort of surprised that somebody even reached out to them, you know, legislators, right?
Yes.
So please, you know, make those connections, be in touch. But if you are all of a sudden, you know, if you're following Equality Utah's social media, which we encourage you to do if you care about this issue, reaching out in the depths of the, you know, second, third, fourth week of the session, it's already too late. Please develop those relationships early so that when they do see your name, they know, oh, yeah, that's that person I had that relationship with. I guess I should say that I met and I like understand this isn't just like a form email. This isn't just a bot. This is a person in my community who cares about this issue. And I do think those connective pieces keep us accountable.
And one final thing I'll just say on that. One of the things that's beautiful about Utah's legislature is how short it is.
Yeah.
Not because it limits the amount of time that legislators are passing bills, but because it means that they all have everyday jobs and communities that they go back to,
yeah,
which makes them more accessible. You can bump into somebody in the line at the grocery store or at the pharmacy or whatever.
Yeah.
So take advantage of that.
Take advantage of that. Okay, so what are some things that you're seeing on the national level that are maybe bringing you hope?
Oh, boy.
Essie, anything that brings you hope or joy?
Oh, that's a tough one for me. I don't know if anything comes to mind for you, Marina, as far as...
That is tough. I mean, these are tough times, right? I think nationally, things feel so fractured. We are seeing these sort of disputes happening around the world that the United States is increasingly embroiled in. I guess I just look internally. I have two kids myself. They are the thing that give me hope. I really do believe this next generation is going to be tired of this fractured way that we are living. This doesn't make sense. We're all Americans. We all ought to figure out a way, remember a way to live together, even if we have political differences. And so I guess that's what gives me hope is that maybe we're reaching this point where people are tired. I believe in this idea of an exhausted middle, which is where most people rest.
Yeah.
They're tired of the screaming and the fighting that you see on the left and the right.
Yeah.
And sort of elevated and amplified through social media. You know, I'm seeing kids like put their phones down and say, I'm just tired of this.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, what's giving me hope.
Yeah.
And even though it's challenging to find hope on a federal level, I find hope in Utah. Like, I have to make it smaller because federally it's a bit overwhelming.
That's right.
But that's why it's so cool to be part of this work, because you can see that hope. Having advocates like Marina on the Hill, who is so skilled and so passionate about this work, that gives me hope. And in those human connections and stories, and even in my personal life, seeing people shift and change and open.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's easier to find that hope on a more personal, close-up level.
Yeah, that's right. So we've had a couple really, I would say, durable and exciting wins in Utah for the LGBTQ community. One in particular that stands out are the efforts to ban conversion therapy. Tell me, so there have been federal attacks on this, but ours stands. Can you just give us maybe a little bit of insight into that as we wrap up the show?
Yeah, it's a pretty fascinating story, actually. So, you know, the Supreme Court recently struck down Colorado's ban on conversion therapy, and the language in the Colorado statute is what most states have used, not Utah. Utah went a different route. We wanted to go that route initially, and we ended up working with Republican lawmakers to craft something which is uniquely Utah-ish, Utahan, and it's our own statute, and it bans conversion therapy, but also provides very specific guidelines to therapists about the sorts of things that they can talk about with their minor patients. And so the day that that decision came down, we were working on our end to put together some messaging, and we put out a statement saying that we believe Utah's law still is enforceable even after the Supreme Court decision, because it is so distinct from the Colorado law. Yeah. And what's so amazing to me is that Representative Mike Peterson, the Republican sponsor of this legislation, at the very same time authored an op-ed in the Deseret News saying the very same thing.
Yeah.
So I think what that proves is when we work together and find solutions that are win-win instead of a winner takes all.
Yeah.
You get real investment from all sides to protect those wins, which leads to durable protections.
Yeah, that's right. That's wonderful. I really appreciate that one. And having grown up in communities where people tried to send their kids off to therapists who really harmed them, you know, it is something that gives me hope in this state. So thanks for working on that issue. So we just have a couple of seconds left. So I'll just give you a plug again. If you aren't following along, if you're interested in the work of Equality Utah, you can go follow the social media. That's where there are a lot of legislative calls to action, but also announcements about events, different gatherings, like ways to get connected and get involved. And have to give a shout out to you, Marina, because I've seen you, you know, worked side by side with you up at the Capitol. And I just know that you really come to this work with a big heart and an open mind and a willingness to listen. And I think that is something that is so valuable. I believe you bring that to SE in this moment where it does feel like we're compelled to just scream at each other. We're not going to get anywhere. And it doesn't make our state better. It doesn't make our communities better. It doesn't make our families more whole. So thank you so much for the work that you do at Equality Utah. So happy to have you here. And thank you to our listeners and to our producer, Anthony Scoma.